Amen. Thanks, Todd. All right, so if you want to grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13, that's where we're going to start today. And there's a bulletin insert for you to follow along with, if you want to pull that out of your bulletin as well. So our mission statement that we've adopted here at New Song is to follow Christ in every facet of life. So that means it's follow the leader, do what he did, right? That's our mission. And our theme for the year is people, God's treasure, our treasure. And we take that from the passage in Matthew 22, where he said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So this year, we've been focused on different messages about relationships. Relationship to God, relationship to one another, small groups, discipleship, and then evangelism. Those are the five relationships we're talking about this year. And we're in a series right now talking about one another. So our relationship to one another. What I did the other day was I took all the verses that have something to do with one another. There's a bunch of them. And I put them into one of those word clouds. Have you ever seen those? Where you take all the words and you mash them together. Like the words that appear the most are the largest, right? And I was amazed. There was one particular word that kind of stood out to me a little bit here in this word cloud. When you take all the verses that have to do with one another in the Bible, the overwhelming theme is love one another. And Jack did a really good job on this a few weeks ago, talking about 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And it's hard to cover everything about love in one message, so we're going to talk about love one another a little bit more today. And particularly in regard to talk and time, two very simple concepts here. Loving one another through talk and time. Now, some of you may be aware of this book called The Five Love Languages. I believe, what's his name? Gary Chapman, is that his name? Or is that the singer? Gary Sloan. Anyway, Chapman? Yeah. So anyway, some guy that knows a lot about psychology that I don't know. He put together this thing, and it's called The Five Love Languages, and there's different ways that people generally fall into one of these five categories, how they receive love, spending time together, or touch, or words of affirmation, or some people like to receive gifts as their way of receiving love, or if you do something for someone, acts of service. These are different ways that people receive and give love, and depending on what your personality is like, one thing means more to you than the other. And so I would encourage you sometime later to go out to this website, lovelanguages.com, and you can take a little quiz there to find out what's your love language. Kind of like all those other Facebook quizzes out there, right? But this one's about your love language, right? So you can know how to communicate best with those who love you. Well, we're going to take a look here at some ways in Scripture that we can love one another. Now, here in John chapter 13, if we set this up a little bit, this is an amazing passage. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, we have five chapters of just Jesus teaching and praying. It's probably one of the most important passages in the whole Bible to hear what's on Jesus' mind right before he goes to the cross. This is his last chance to cover anything else he missed with the disciples in 3 years. He's going to pack it all in. Probably the next one after that would be the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There's three chapters of Jesus teaching as well. So this is one of those landmark passages in Scripture, and I find it interesting that here at the end of his ministry with the disciples, he's got something new to give them. He says, I've got a new commandment for you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I think there's a theme in that passage. Three times he says, love one another. That must be important. But I also find it interesting if we look at the lines that are sandwiched between these love one another. So the first line, a new commandment I give to you. This is not optional. He's telling us you need to love one another. I'm commanding you. Now, to command somebody to love seems a little mixed up, doesn't it? But he's saying, look, I have demonstrated this. And the next line there, if we skip down, even as I have also loved you. So Jesus says to follow my example. I have shown you what it looks like by my actions, by the way I've treated you, by the things I've said, the things we've done. I have shown you love. Now you take my model, my example, and what does it say will happen? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. So if we have sincere love for one another, there is actually an evangelistic component to that. I never saw it that way before. When we have love for one another, and people who don't know that love come in and they see that, it makes them hungry for it. They want that. And it brings glory to God when we love one another. So it's a command to follow Christ's example that would be a light to the world. Now, later at the end of this in John 17, it doesn't mention about us loving one another, but this is Jesus talking to his Father. And here we see that you may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. So Jesus is talking to his Father in heaven. The Father loved the Son, and the Son loved us. Now there's another place in Scripture where it says the Father himself loves you. It's in this other place in this passage here. But so the Father loved the Son loved us, that the world may know. So when we share this love, we share this unity, again, there's this external component to it. It's not just us loving one another, but when the world sees that, it makes them hungry for it. And that's powerful. So yes, loving one another, it's nice when you have people that love you, isn't it? Right? And we do love one another, but there are a lot of people that don't have that. And so when they come and they see the love that we have for one another, then that's a great bridge and opportunity to share that love with them. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 is the third passage. I'm done with passages here. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So when you say love, there are a lot of different ways people interpret that word. And when we look at all those one another's in Scripture, there are lots of ways that we are told to love one another. But here, it actually gives us a little more specifics. So to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we are to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And how do we do that? Well, if I'm sitting in my house by myself, and you're sitting in your house by yourself, and everybody else is sitting in their homes by themselves, we're not really connected, are we? We have to come together to do that. Now, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews evidently had a problem with people not showing up for church. He's calling them out right here. It says, now there's some of you guys in this habit of not showing up for synagogue. We want you to be here because we can't love on you unless you're here. And that's part of what he's saying is, a lot of people use this verse to say you got to come to church. But it's not about the church, right? It's not about the building. It's about the people that we get together with and share our lives with. And that when the Holy Spirit and me and the Holy Spirit and you are present together and God's speaking to us in encouraging us. And we're able to say, this is what I heard from the Lord this week while I was reading the word in my quiet time. I'm able to encourage one another with these words and our good deeds. It implies that we have to be together to love one another. So part of it is talking to one another, and part of it is spending time with one another. Those are two things that I think are really important. Now, you might be surprised to know that there are some people that have come to this church for a long time, even some people that come every Sunday morning, and they're still lonely. Maybe they're kind of a loner. Maybe they want people to talk to them, but nobody talks to them. So I'm going to share with you today how to talk to people. Are you kidding me? I came to Sunday morning to church just to learn how to talk to people. My wife said, this is a fluff piece. It's a fluffy, light. You know, I love to get into the Word and go deep and teach, but is it really fluffy just to talk about how to talk to people? Nope. How to make conversation? Because if it's really, it feels kind of fluffy, but then it really is at the heart of loving one another, is having conversations and spending time together. So we're going to talk about something that's really obvious here. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time with people. Jesus talked to strangers. He showed up at Levi's house when he recruited Levi or Matthew as a disciple. He goes to Matthew's house, and there's all these guys that collect money for a living. They weren't looked at too well in the rest of society, and people who were drinking and partying and having a good time, and Jesus is there hanging out with them. We don't read about any miracles that he did. We don't read about any healings. He didn't change the water to wine. He was just spending time with people. And so part of talking to others, smiley face. When I say we're going to talk to other people, some of you are like, yes, who do I, just point me in the right direction. Who am I going to talk to? How many are extroverts here? Any extroverts? All right. Now, the other side of the room are the frowny faces. They're like, I've got to talk to people? Are you serious? Now, it'd be kind of mean if I asked the introverts to raise their hand, right? Because they don't want to draw attention to themselves. Right? It's everybody else. Okay. So there are some people who really just are jazzed and encouraged by talking to others. And some people are like, if you're going to make me talk to people, I'm just going to leave. I don't need to do this, right? I'll just go home and sit in my own little room, right? So talking to people is important, though. So there's people who really enjoy it and people who really don't enjoy it. But all of us need some practical skills, and how do you talk to people? Cats. Did you ever think you would see a cat video in a sermon? Watch this. Here we go. Ready? Having a conversation is like playing tennis. Did you catch that? Let's do it again. All right. Well, there we go. Cats watching tennis. Yep. Looking back and forth. A conversation is like a tennis match. When you have a conversation with somebody, you offer something, and then they offer something, then you offer something, and then they offer something. Now, we've all had conversations with people where we ask them one question, and then 10 minutes later, we just listen and listen and listen and listen. And part of that's listening skills. John Hopler's going to be with us on July 9th to talk about listening. So it's important to listen in the conversation, right? But a conversation is like a tennis match. I actually got this tip from an article on interview skills recently that I saw. And the person was talking about how they had this person in an interview, and they just didn't shut up. They just kept going and going and going. And it was completely irrelevant to the interview, I suppose. So one point in conversation is to think of it like a tennis match. I offer something. They offer something. Now, I'm going to tell you today to talk to strangers. I know we've been schooled over and over, don't talk to strangers. All right. Now, if there's a creep at the park with a van and candy trying to lure kids in the van, that's a creep. You don't talk to creeps, all right? But strangers are people you haven't met yet, people you don't know. So I am going to tell you to talk to strangers. And that includes some of the people here on Sunday morning. There are some people here that you've never talked to before. You don't know them. And if I think about how do I even begin to have a conversation with someone, where do I start? That's what I want to share with you. Now, I learned this little technique back in college somewhere, and I've used this technique all over the United States. I have a travel job. I travel about 50% of the time for my work. And about a year or two into this job, I realized I'm spending a lot of time in the airport and in the hotel with people that I really don't know. But you know what? All these people I don't know, they're kind of like my coworkers, because they're doing the same thing. They've got a travel job, and they don't see their family through the week. And so I bet they're lonely just like I am. And so I started having conversations with strangers. And you'd be surprised how open people are to talking, just having a conversation. So here I'm going to show you the magic formula that I use to have conversation. And maybe when I start to talk about this, you're going to say, he's used that on me before. It's a game. And we've got a picnic coming up today where you're going to get to practice this. So I want you to pay attention. It's in your bulletin. This is an acronym, FROM. Where are you from? I can have a conversation with somebody for 20 minutes I've never met, just using this little thing. So where are you from? Last night I posted some items on Craigslist. It was funny, in 10 minutes I started getting all these texts. Hey, is it still available? Yeah, come on up. So this guy comes over to pick up some things. I was cleaning out my garage. I've never met the guy before. And so we're talking a little bit. And so I said, you know, where are you from? And he says, well, I'm from Worthington. And I said, well, I'm originally from Portsmouth. And he says, well, my wife was from Portsmouth. And before you know it, we have a whole five-minute conversation about just where are you from? Well, how long have you lived there? Right? So let's see. Peter, you're an introvert, aren't you? You probably wouldn't want to come up and be like, anybody want to volunteer to come up? All right, come on, Joshua. All right, let's role play this a little bit. So, hey, Josh. My name's Ashley. I shouldn't have said your name, should I? Yeah. So my name's Ashley. What's your name?
I'm Joshua.
Hi, Josh. See, I offered something to him first. My name is, before I ask him any details, it'd be kind of weird if I just started asking him all these questions, right? So I have to offer something to him in the tennis match. So my name is Ashley. What's your name? All right. So where are you from, Joshua?
Oh, I'm from Hebron.
Hebron. Is that near Buckeye Lake?
Yeah, just like right next door to it.
Yeah, I was out at Buckeye Lake just the other day. It was great. It was beautiful.
Don't tell me you went swimming in the lake.
No, I did not go swimming. Okay. I did not go swimming in the lake.
I'll have to go wash my hand then.
Yeah. So, have you lived there very long?
Oh, since I was about 3, we've lived there. Yeah. We've been all over the U.S., but it's been way too early in my life for me to ever remember any of it.
All over the U.S. So were you like a military brat or a preacher's kid?
Both my parents were in the Air Force.
Okay.
And they were stationed in Hawaii when I was born, and then we were moved to Colorado after that. So all kinds of traveling, and then we ended up in Ohio after they were both done with the military.
Okay. Now, time out on our little demo here. So people love to talk about themselves. Mm-hmm. Most people. Anyway, so next up is, in the R is recreation. So Joshua, what do you do for fun?
I like to play music. I experiment with fingerstyle on my guitar.
No way, I play guitar too.
Really?
Really.
How long have you been playing?
I've been playing a long time, probably since 93. Yeah.
I'm not capable of playing that long.
Oh, wow. So do you have spare time? Do you have much spare time to do the things you like?
Not a whole lot. I'm going full-time in college, and I work part-time from home, so it doesn't offer a lot of free time for
me. All right, time out right there. The next one is O, occupation. Really? So you work from home. That's got to be fun.
I always tell people that the worst part about working from home is working from home.
Okay, so, really?
People in my house don't quite understand that when I'm working, I'm working. They're like, oh, well, you work at home, you can do this, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm working.
Some of you know what he's talking about. You work from home, right? Yeah.
Some of you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So how long have you been working from home?
I started when I graduated high school, so it's been a little over 2 years.
Yeah. Who do you work for?
I work for a company called Falnet. They own several websites on the internet, like Screen Rant, Comic Book Resource, and so I do a lot of work for them. But I've done all kinds of stuff for other companies like WatchMojo and Android Authority. So I'm all over the place.
Yeah. So I work for the world's largest software company. And I travel on airplanes and hotels and go see people and help them with their computers and stuff.
Oh, so you're traveling a lot.
Yeah, I do get to travel a lot. Probably go to some of those places that you were raised.
Probably. At least you can remember.
Yeah.
Me.
I know. Pause right there. Next up is married or family. So, Josh, I've been married for 25 years.
I'm not capable of being married that long.
I'm not capable. I see a theme here. So I notice you're not wearing a wedding band.
Not exactly.
Okay, are you married yet?
No, but yeah. I've been dating this girl for quite a long time. Long time for me, not necessarily for you. A long time that I'm capable of.
And okay,
so we're definitely moving that direction.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Well,
thank you. I've got two kids. I've got two sons. My oldest, he's married, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, he's about your age. He's married, and I've got another son who is working right now, living at home, and so two sons, 25 years. Yeah, I bet you could do better than. I bet you could get more than two sons in 25 years.
Oh, I'm sure.
I bet you could. Yeah. So thanks for playing the game today, Josh.
Thank you.
That's called From. All right. You can have this experience with people who you've never met before and completely have an interesting conversation, and you might be thinking, well, that's so superficial. You're just using this little formula to kind of exchange information. What's the point? It really doesn't serve any purpose. I could see that on one level, but on the other hand, it really does. It shows that you care about that person when you're asking, inquiring about their life, showing that you really are interested in who they are and who God's made them to be. So that little acronym is in your bulletin there. And my challenge to you today at the picnic after church is to find two or three people that you don't know, even if they've been coming here for years. Two or three people that you've never talked to before, and play this little game. They're going to know the game, all right? And you can practice the game on one another, right? So when you're out and about, if you're standing in the line at the bank or Kroger's, wherever you are, you now have a tool that you can use to break the ice with perfect strangers. This works really well. Because nobody likes that awkward silence where you're like, I should really say something. What do I say? So now you know. Where are you from? What do you do for fun? Recreation. Hey, where do you work? How long have you been there? Where did you work before that? Yeah, are you married? Do you have any kids? And you kind of offer, again, tennis match. Say, oh, yeah, I used to live there. I've got a cousin that lives there. Or, yeah, my dad used to do that. Whatever, just to kind of offer back and forth and have that conversation. And it shows that you value people and that you love people. Very simple tool. So that's how to talk to strangers, people you've not met yet. Next up is talking to one another, people we already know. So if we get together for lunch, and we're out to lunch, and we have this, again, that we've gotten our food, there's kind of some awkward silence, like, what am I supposed to talk about with people? I don't know. What am I supposed to talk about, right? Well, I just ask them, hey, how did you get saved? How long have you been saved? When did you start going to church? When did you come to know the Lord? What was it like when you got baptized? Were you dunked or were you sprinkled or water balloon? You know, what was it that, how did you get baptized? You know, just, this is a great way to get to know other believers, one another. Just asking questions like this, tell me about your devotional life. This is a big one for me because I'm always curious, How do people do their quiet time? You know, do you read? Do you pray? Do you have a formula? Do you use that SOAP method, scripture, observation, application, prayer? You know, what do you do in your devotional time? Or what has God spoken to you this week as you've been reading the Word? What are you passionate about? What do you really enjoy doing for the Lord? This is a great question to ask somebody. How can I serve you? One of those one another's in the Bible says to serve one another. And now this is going to take some dying to self. You notice we've had these different themes as we've gone through the messages this year. We had a couple messages on dying to self. We had a message on Mary and Martha, how Martha was so busy. And in my mind, because I know this happens to me, busy equals shallow. My relationships don't go very deep because you guys see me here on Sunday morning, I'm kind of bouncing around to everybody. You know, I don't really have a chance to really go deep with anybody in a conversation typically on Sunday morning because I'm doing all these things. So I've made it a point over the last few months to find somebody here at church and to go deep with them. We meet once a week and we just talk about our week, talk about the Word. What's God saying to you this week? And we're going to start going through a devotional book, a discipleship book. So this does require some intentionality on your part because we are all so busy. I have to die to my own priorities and realize that, and this is really this journey of people, God's treasure, our treasure. This whole thing occurred to me last year as I was standing in my garage looking at all these things, all this junk, thinking, you know, I could spend the day cleaning out my garage, or I could actually go invest in someone else's life and serve them and love them and spend time with them. And that's what this whole theme about treasuring others is about, is inviting others into your life, inviting yourself into others' lives. How can I serve you? How can I pray for you? And then if you really feel comfortable with that person, they know you, you can say, do you see an area where I need to grow? And that's really a step of maturity to say, you know me well enough to speak into my life. In that tennis match, back and forth, opening up ourselves, inviting their input as well. So we can talk to strangers, we can talk to one another. Next up is time. Boy, this is really a sensitive thing for, I mean, your checkbook, or if you have a checkbook anymore in the digital age, but where does your money go? Where does your time go? Those are pretty big deals. And for a lot of people, time is money. And so if I'm giving you my time, I could be doing something else, you know, much more productive instead of just listening to your stories, right? But we have to die to self and open up our life as they open up their life and share life together. That requires spending time with one another. What are some practical things that I can do to spend time with others? So I want you to look at this list and just think to yourself, how many of these things have you done in the last month? And use it kind of as a way to say, how one another am I? Am I really spending time with others and investing in their lives and letting them speak into my life? So you can serve together. The VBS volunteers this week had an amazing time of one anothering, loving one another, serving together. I've been doing this for years as a worship leader, spending time with people, serving together, and there's a special bond there when you serve together. Visit somebody's home. Have you been in the home of the people that you talk to on Sunday mornings? It doesn't have to be for something spiritual necessarily, but just to get together and hang out, have fun, talk. Share a meal. You don't have to go out to eat necessarily and pay extra money. You can have people over to your house and share a meal together. It's a great way to get to know one another, and we really enjoy hosting people over at the house, and I hope that you would develop that hospitality as well, where you can invite people over and spend time together. You can attend prayer meeting and share needs with one another and pray for one another. You can attend a small group where you really can connect with one another on a consistent basis and develop that relationship, or meet one-on-one in a discipleship or a mentoring relationship. So just spend time one-on-one investing in each other's lives, holding each other accountable, or something. I'll tell you, here's the entry point if you're kind of deficient in the one another score sheet here, all right? Here's a great place to start. I tell you, we'll make it even easier. How about a text? Just text somebody this week and say, hey, how you doing? You know. Then if you really want to graduate from there, you can move up to a phone call. You know, call them, actually talk. You know, texting, I don't get all the abuse of the English language that happens in texting and you are and all this stuff. I'm kind of old school. I don't understand all that. But when we actually talk to someone on the phone, and then we can say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You know, I hear that in August is the Columbus Food Truck Festival is coming up. Doesn't that sound like fun? We could attend an event. We could just go out together and have some fun. Go do something together. Food truck. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a while. The language camp kids are here, so we're planning on making a cultural experience of going to the food truck festival. Yeah. Yeah, or go to a concert, you know, just go out and do something together. So there's tons of ways we can do things together. And so look at your things that you have planned, your activities this summer. And yeah, you need time as a family to get away. But look at that and say, is there something I could invite someone to go with us, to enjoy this, to share it together, build that relationship? You know, it was, when was it, Memorial Day that we went over to Easton? The Olivieri's and the Holtz's, yeah, just three couples. We just went out for lunch together and kind of walked around aimlessly. You know, the guys are watching the ladies in the stores, and the guys are standing on the sidewalk just kind of waiting for them to come out. You know, there was a waxing place. We decided not to go there. But, you know, just hang out, spending time with one another. So what does that do for us? If I think about this, I told Joshua I've been married 25 years. What if I slipped that ring on her finger and never said another word to my wife after I do? Wow, that would not be very cool, would it? That would not be the way to show love to my wife. Or if I never spent any time with her, right? Because I do have a travel job, I'm very conscious of making time with my wife. But not just that, right? Then I need to look beyond my immediate family. And a lot of times there are seasons in our life where we do need to focus just on us at home, right? But those times with just us at home are a lot easier when the storms come. They're a lot easier to bear if I have relationships in the body, people that I can call on and share time and requests with. So look around. There's some people that aren't here this morning. They'd be the perfect. They don't know the from thing. All right? They don't know that I told you to go call them or text them this week. There's some folks here out on vacation, different things. Just go get in touch with them. Ask them if you can do breakfast or lunch together this week or something like that. Make some time for one another in your week. And this requires sacrifice, because why am I asking you to do this? Because Jesus told us to. John 13, a new command I give you, to love one another. How do we do that? He showed us the model. It involves spending time together, talking to one another. And what happens when we do that? As we have a contagious love for one another that will draw people to Christ. It's even evangelistic. You get the evangelism for free. It's a bonus. All right? So this is a fantastic thing. So you can decide for yourself if this was a fluff piece today. We didn't go super deep into theology or teaching or scripture, but when I thought, love one another, what in the world am I supposed to say about love one another? It's so big. It's so obvious. It's like Captain Obvious, right? Stating things. Yeah, you should love one another. So how do I do that? What's that look like? So just very practical today. Talk to one another. Spend time together. And share your lives with one another. Just like Jesus modeled for the disciples, spending time together. It's going to require looking really hard at your calendar for the week, for the month. You know, we had some folks over for lunch after church a couple weeks ago, but we actually booked that a month in advance. So look at your calendar, make it happen. Put some time in your life. Put a reminder on your calendar there, because our vision is to glorify God as an ever-increasing circle of love where there's always room for one more, right? That ever-increasing circle of love, that love means spending time with one another, talking to one another. So at the bottom of your little insert there in your bulletin, you can maybe make a note. Maybe check the boxes. How am I doing in this one another thing? Am I spending time? Remember, the writer of Hebrews said that some people don't show up. How can we love them if they don't show up? Well, we have to go after them. Go pursue them and show them love. Have conversations. There's a book published several years ago called The Celtic Way of Evangelism. The Celtic Christians, they had something called the Ministry of Conversation. Now, some of you extroverts are thinking, yeah, I can do that, right? Ministry of conversation. People would belong before they believed. They would buddy up a newcomer to the circle. They would buddy them up with a believer. And there was no pressure to share the gospel. They just shared life. They just spent time together. They talked. And it just naturally moved into sharing what God's done in your life. As they see that love, just like Jesus told us here, that when people see that love, they'll know where it comes from, and they'll want some of that too. So find some time in your calendar this week. Take this little insert and put it, you have refrigerator magnets at home, put this up there with everything else so that you remember, I really do need to spend time with my brothers and sisters, because right now I might be doing pretty good, but there's going to be a time when I need to lean on them and lean on that love. So I would really encourage you to take this to heart and make it a point to spend time with one another. Carve that time out of your calendar. All right, there's my fluff piece for the day. All right, love one another. Very simple, talk and time. So it's time, speaking of time, to have some announcements and take your money.